morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program on K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3. Our phone lines are open if you have questions or comments for our expert Larry Glass at 1-800-749-5935. Our Green Country Gardener Program is brought to you by Green Thumb Nurseries, United Rentals, Kelly Banks Tree Service, Peter's True Value Hardware. Sharpen your shovels and let's get outside.
Good morning. It's time for the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Garrett Giles. Joining us is Larry Glass. Again, if you have any questions for us this morning, call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And Larry, last week it was hot, and well, this week it's also hot.
Yes, I've been cooked this week.
Like bacon. Our hides are brown.
Nothing left. Golly, plants are really showing a little bit of heat and drought stress. So, well, what else can be expected?
Right.
Plants respond to this drought and heat business by kind of ditching some leaves. You know, they've had all spring to...
They're shedding.
Had all the rain we had, and then maybe a little bit of sunshine, and
just a little bit,
and then so they've really grown, and they don't need it that much anymore. so they're going to drop some leaves here and there. It's just natural. What you really want to look at, however, is the vascular tissue on the plant. In other words, the new stems on it, and make sure they're fully inflated and all that.
Okay.
And that'll tell you if the plant's really under stress or not. Now, I do know, looking at the trees and actually digging in the ground, that there's really very good moisture down there below the level of the grass roots. Yeah, it's
wow.
Fine. Yeah, we're doing fine as far as water is concerned. There's no problems with really big trees drying out.
That's
and
good.
Some of the more advanced shrubs. I haven't watered my shrubs yet this year.
Wow.
Or anything. My yard's been watered twice, so...
Tomorrow's August, so just,
yeah. Then every morning I go to work, and the same house has a sprinkler system running every single day.
You're killing your tree.
No, plants don't need that.
Or waterboarding your tree, if that's even possible.
So we need to practice the wise use of water too, because it's getting kind of expensive. So
That's accurate.
So anyway, so they're showing a little bit of heat stress, but just natural, no big deal. The crepe myrtles are really starting to pop out nicely, though. The ones that did survive the winter very well, they're starting to really put on a pretty good show right now.
Right.
So that's good, too. We got some new ones, too, at the nursery. So
I love crepe myrtles.
Yeah, really nice.
Blooming really well. Mm-hmm. We have this little red one that's starting to bloom pretty good.
Yeah, and the ones that really got killed back and are coming back from the roots, they're coming back really healthy and ready to go. Mm-hmm. So I think next year they ought to be a little bit better. If you guys can manage to control the weather.
Control it how? How would you like us to control it?
I don't know. You got all those buttons over there. Some way you can make it so it doesn't get cold. There you go. Push that one. See what happens.
Is it working?
Yeah, it's getting cooler.
Well, it's always cold in this studio, Larry.
Anyway, the important thing is not to overwater your plants.
Right.
Because when you overwater your plants, the root system gets compromised from an anaerobic condition. They do require oxygen.
Right.
Roots actually respire like we do. They take in oxygen and give off CO2. Mm-hmm. But the top takes in CO2 and gives a lot more, on a larger scale, if you will, in reverse process. Because there's no sunshine down there, they have to grow and all that, so they give off CO2. And they need oxygen in the soil. And if you don't have that oxygen in the soil, it becomes anaerobic. Mm-hmm. And fungus and rot, and the cells in the plant dies, and so on. So it's very important not to overwater. That's the main reason why. So let things dry out a little bit between waterings, and if you have overwatered, you might have to loosen up the soil a little bit so the roots can regrow. Now, a lot of people have problems with plants dying towards the end of the summer, which isn't here yet. You know, it's not even August yet.
Yeah, we're pretty close to August.
I don't think you'll ever get here.
Maybe not.
But anyway.
At this rate.
But anyway, you're going to see some plants kind of stressing out a little bit. And that's their way to respond. That's the way they respond to a lack of root system in the soil or lack of water or something. It's just a survival tactic. They'll come back. So
everything makes a comeback.
Sure. So
what else is going on?
Anyway, at the nursery, we have some things on special. And there we go. Annuals, 4 and 4.5 inch annuals are 50% off, and all our little drift roses are half off. And we have 30% off on perennials, the stillweeds, and some of the smaller crepe myrtles, the hardy ferns, which I really do like. One of my favorite things in the landscape, the hardy ferns, especially if you got some shade. And hardy hibiscus really put on a really nice show right now. They're getting a little pop bound, so they need to be in the ground anyway. They're on sale for half price. Some hostas and a few select Japanese maples are half price too. So come check it out, the specials at the nursery. It's a good time to plant. I mean, we plant 6 days a week at the nursery, except when it's hot. 5 days. Like today, I gave my crew off. They're just, just kind of like...
Don't want to be sweltering all the time.
I mean, just melted mass. Right. It's awful. But and today, I think today's going to be the hottest day of the summer.
Yeah. It's going to be up there for sure.
So anyway, so okay, guys, we're just the weather's supposed to be good next week. We'll get caught up. So don't worry about it. But anyway, so we do have a few things on sale, so come check it out. Some annuals, if you missed out on some annuals, we got those on sale too. We have a caller?
No, I actually do have someone that texted me with a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Ikamaro is asking, should potted tomato plants be kept in direct sun, or should I move them to the shade with this heat?
I would give it some shielding from the mid to mid-afternoon sun. In other words, it's okay up till about maybe 11 or 12 o'clock, between 12 and say 4, maybe some shielding in that time range.
Where it gets pretty hot.
Yeah. And they'll be all right. But tomatoes are pretty rough plants, but they do really well if they do have some shielding from the hot afternoon sun. And the primary reason for that is a cracking of the tomatoes. It gets really hot. Mm-hmm. And the skin of the tomato can't handle the stress and cracks. So you try to keep them as cool as possible. Also, on the tomatoes, the best thing you can do on your tomatoes, if they are out in the full sun, is to keep the soil level at a more constant level of moisture. And that can be achieved by applying a very heavy layer of mulch on the ground. And typically 3 to 4 inches of either hay or mulch or anything you might have around that would help keep the soil moisture more constant and the soil temperature more constant. You'll have much better luck with tomatoes cracking and splitting.
Right.
Or mine, I had to pick them while they're still kind of greenish because they split anyway.
Still and, avoiding it.
And the moisture level is constant. It's even controlled and regulated and all that, but they still crack.
Oh, man.
So... But anyway, and maybe leaving them just a little bit on the dry side might be a little better too for the tomatoes. So.
Right.
Okay.
And if people have any other questions for Larry Glass on the Green Country Gardener, they can reach us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We will hear from Evan Farbach a little bit later on in the show. Going to be talking about the 24th annual radio auction happening up at the Washington County Fairgrounds in Dewey. Doors opened at 8. Auctioning will start at 9 o'clock. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. If you call United Reynolds Strategic Sales Team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. We all pull out the same inventory. The reason we do that is so that we can give each customer the amount of time that they need. We don't want to rush anyone, and that's why we have a Strategic Sales Team call center. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is your plant headquarters with Bartlesville's largest selection of annuals, perennials, shrubs, and trees. While shopping for outside the home, make it a tropical paradise inside with tropical plants. Green Thumb can custom design your landscape, including installation of sprinkler systems, pavers for walkways and patios, making your yard and backyard the oasis you've always dreamed of. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. Sunday, noon to 5.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Garrett Giles. Larry Glass joining us in studio, as always, at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Again, if you have any questions, you can reach us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, what do we need to do about those pesky armadillos?
Armadillos. Armadillos belong to the same family of mammals as the sloth and anteaters.
Never really thought of sloth.
If the armadillo would just eat ants,
yeah,
that would be fine.
That'd be great.
But the body is basically made of a leathery material generally referred to as armor. Huh. It's like bulletproof, you know.
Right.
A semi-truck run over it. The semi-truck, you know, rolls over and crashes down the hill.
It's like hit a boulder.
This species is most present in North America in the as the nine-banded armadillo. That's typically the one we have here. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty good about laying on their backs and holding up beer cans, you know.
These armadillos know how to party.
Oh, we were at the Stratosphere in Vegas a long time ago. That was a long time ago. Anyway, they had a gift shop, and in the window was an upside-down armadillo with a beer can on it.
So like watching tornadoes go by?
Yeah, really. But anyway, armadillos love to nest in rock piles around trees and shrubs and under slabs and things like that. They burrow usually, their burrows are typically 15 to 25 feet long. These guys are really good diggers.
Right.
Need to put them on my irrigation crew. They'll
That'd be very helpful, wouldn't it? Might save you some time, right?
They're good for tunneling under driveways. So. A little worm and put it on the end of a pole. Here you go.
Go, Ricky, go.
Go, go, go. In many cases, damage usually leads to the tree dying, maybe, and some burrows of flood can lead to flooding in your basement, too, because it gives a pathway for the water to get down in there. So it can cause some problems. So you want to make sure you inspect your property occasionally and see if there's something behind there. I think I found one in my house in the front yard, too. I don't have a basement, and the water all runs away from the house. So, but I put some mold killer in there. I think it took the bait, and I haven't seen it. So, but
anyway. Yeah, that's a good sign, I suppose.
They can dig around cross. They can undermine patio slabs and walkways too. They can cause problems with sidewalks and things. They can really do some damage, and right. It takes a lot of money to to repair this damage, say to concrete or foundations or something.
Don't let armadillos put you in a pickle, basically.
I've never had pickled armadillos. I don't know.
pickled armadillos.
I've heard of armadillo eggs, but.
Oh wow! I haven't heard that.
Which is basically pickled eggs, but.
that's fair.
It's just a colloquial name from them. But anyway, they also like a tasty fruit, which may have been found in the garden or compost pile. They start coming around, and they return every night and so on. Anyway, somebody here in town told me how to catch them. And that is, you have to know where their burrow is. Mm-hmm. And you put a blind trap.
You say a blind trap?
Blind trap. They don't have very good eyesight.
Okay.
So basically, he said what you do is you take some, say, some cinder blocks or something and build a corral around the
so
nest.
They just follow it.
and then at a certain point on this corral, you
right.
have a live trap.
Okay.
Where the only way the critter can get out is through the live trap. Did that and caught the guy.
Hmm.
Overnight. Yeah. And my daughter, she was young at the time.
Right.
We were fascinated by this armadillo. So.
Corrals.
The neighbor. The neighbor came by and said, just put it in a trash can and take it. Okay. Well, like smart me, I said, oh, let me get my camera, take a picture of this critter. while he was in the trash can. I took a picture of it. Well, it jumped out.
Right.
Of the trash can and ran away.
That's armadillos, man.
So we put the blind trap back in, caught him again, left it in the trap this time, didn't take it out of the trap, put it in the back of the truck.
Right.
And hauled it off to the country somewhere where there are no people around.
So. Right. Until it finds some.
Yeah. So anyway.
Larry, I think we actually do have Kevin Farbach on the line getting ready to talk to us.
Okay, go ahead, put him on.
24th annual radio auction. Evan, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Caught any armadillos lately?
No. No armadillos.
Okay.
What's happening up there at the auction?
Yes, Garrett. We are out here at the Washington County Fairgrounds and at Dewey for the annual K1, KYFM, KRIG, KPGM auction. A lot of people have already walked in the doors. Doors open at 8 o'clock, so the doors have been unlocked for about 15, 20 minutes or so now. And, of course, people getting set for what should be a whole morning of fun here at the Washington County Fairgrounds in Dewey. The auction will actually start at 9. If you have not been to one of our auctions before, I'd urge you to come on out. We've got hundreds of items from businesses all across our listening area. Also, gift certificates from restaurants, and then, of course, attraction tickets to Eureka Springs, Arkansas, Oklahoma City, a lot of Branson, Missouri tickets, and stuff of that nature. And the cool thing about our auction is every single item will be at least 20% off retail. The auction stops at 80% of whatever we paid for it, so you're guaranteed to get at least 20% off. And boy, a lot of things going to go for even a whole lot more off than that. So again, the auction starts at 9. It'll be going on until probably a little bit after noon or so here at the Washington County Fairgrounds in Dewey. And the numbers are free. There's concessions. There's door prizes. So come on out and join us for the auction. Once again, it starts at 9 o'clock.
You got any your eyes on any items up there, Evan?
Well, I am sitting in a recliner, which is pretty comfortable right now. I was going to try to see where this is from. This is from Michael's Carpet and Sleep Center. So I've got my eye on this recliner. I've got the Boom Moto motorized scooter right in front of me. There's a pretty nice Bad Boy riding lawnmower, a couple other couches. They've got a really nice Pelican cooler that I could use for the backyard. So those are just a few of the things I'm seeing right in front of me now that I think would be pretty good in the new house.
Yeah, it sounds about right, but I'm going to encourage people to try to get on out there and outbid you today, Evan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can max bid anything you want right away, and if you're the first one to max bid it, you'll get that for the 20% off. But like I said, a lot of things are going to go for a whole lot less than that. So hopefully you'll have a chance to come on out and join us again. Doors are open. Auction starts at 9. It's the K1, KYFM, KRIG, KPGM auction.
Evan, thank you so much for letting us know what's happening up there, and hopefully things go off without a hitch.
Appreciate it, sir. Thanks.
And you're listening to the Green Country Gardener. It's 8:26. We'll take another break. We'll be right back.
For great bargains of the month, shop Peter's True Value in Dewey. Save on Rubbermaid lightweight aluminum step stool, just $29.99. And keep those insects at bay with Raid Value Packs of 2 cans of ant and roach killer or 2 cans of wasp and hornet killer. Your choice, just $7.99 after a $2 instant in-store rebate. And for cleaning and disinfecting patios, get Clorox 121 ounces outdoor bleach for just $6.49. But only at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
Keeping your lawn and garden looking great is hard work. It's even harder if you don't know what you're doing. Take some time out Saturday mornings at 8 for The Green Country Gardener with your host, Larry Glass. We'll take your calls, answer your questions, and give you some timely advice. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value Hardware, Jensen Tractor Ranch, and United Rentals. The Green Country Gardener, Saturdays at 8 on K1, AM 1400, and FM 93.3.
Drive home informed on K1, the one you trust. News, weather, sports, and markets with Garrett Giles, Max Gross, and Ty Lopez. K1, the one you trust at AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. Drive home informed.
After work, I love it.
K1, the one you trust
How many times have you asked yourself, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time and temperature from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. We update the Weatherline as our forecast changes, so you're always up to date. Put that number in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G. We got Larry Glass in the studio with us. Numbers to call if you have any questions, 918-336-1400. And you can also reach us at the toll-free number, 1-800-749-5936. And again, don't forget to get on up there to the Washington County Fairgrounds in Dewey for the auction. Auction will start at 9 o'clock. A lot of great deals up there for you to enjoy today. But again, we're talking with Larry on the Green Country Gardener program. Larry, what can you tell us about irrigation systems?
Well, sprinkler systems can be a very important asset in your landscape, because when we do have stress times when there's inadequate water for our plants, mm-hmm. it can go ahead and keep them alive and looking pristine. However, just like your house is engineered with the plumbing and the electricity, the wire right. sizing and all that, and you kind of have to follow the same thing with the sprinkler system. You really need to start with some knowledge prior to designing your sprinkler system. The important word there is designing or engineering your sprinkler system. Mm-hmm. You need to know how many pounds per square inch are available and the aperture through which the water must grow through your meter in order to operate properly.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of them where they have really good pressure and the water just shoots out and this aerosol goes into the atmosphere, just as mist. Well, that's water evaporates fairly quickly.
Right.
And just goes into the atmosphere, making it miserable and humid for everybody. And not really, actually, some of it never even reaches the ground.
Right.
So you kind of need to know all this stuff before doing. Yeah, good pressure is good, but then again, golly, I've had to put pressure regulators in some of them because it can get so high.
Right.
So kind of know your premise, and actually you need to consider the slope of the soil type, and the type of plants, center shade, et cetera, in order to design a sprinkler system. I use the word design. It really needs to be done on pen and paper, and your GPMs need to be calculated properly and all that too. So they're not that really simple.
Right.
So.
And Larry, we have a caller whenever you're
okay,
ready.
Okay, put him on.
Good morning. You're on the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Yes, this is, I need to do things in containers, and I'm interested in trying to grow perennials in containers like irises, daffodils, things like that. And I wanted to find out if there are certain type of materials containers are made out of or certain sizes that I should be looking at to try to do this.
Right.
Or should I even try to do it?
Well, perennials in containers can be kind of difficult for various reasons. They typically don't lack a constricted root space, and they do grow in a lot things like iris and whatnot. They do grow and expand and everything else. And one of the primary reasons why I really don't like to grow perennials per se in containers is in the wintertime it gets really quite cold, and you stand a very good chance of losing a lot of them into the cold weather because they're not prepared to handle the atmospheric temperature. The root systems aren't. In the wintertime, the perennials don't make much of a presence on the top. But their root systems are underground, laying dormant, ready for spring to come back. And what you really, if you want them in containers, you sort of need to know what they might grow in the ground in, say, Chicago, rather than here, way up north.
Oh.
So I used to live up in Chicago. We had iris and mums and all the other kind of stuff that were very hardy. And they did very well in the ground. The ground just got hard as a rock about 2 feet down. and they all did just fine. So we need to go further north as far as hardiness is concerned on your perennials that you go into containers. And then again, they still have to be watered in the winter. because there's still living things in there. You don't have to water them too much, just maybe between cold spells or something. And you could plant in amongst the perennials, you can plant some pansies in the pots. So at least you'll get some color in the wintertime. There's not much to look at in the wintertime.
Okay. And so should the material that the containers are made out of, does that make any difference on how well they survive the winter?
You have to go ahead and plan for the weather in the wintertime. And clay pots would probably be the last thing I'd want to use in the winter because they don't have much of a tendency to expand. When the soil freezes, and also as the perennial roots enlarge, they take up more volume and they put a lot of stress on a pot. So you want something that's really durable. I would go with polyethylene of some kind, plastic pot, and they'll do okay. And there are some nice ones. We've got some at the nursery that are terracotta colored, and they can hold up pretty well. The disadvantage of the polyethylene pots is they don't hold up in the sunshine.
Oh.
and it's always something, isn't it?
Yes.
Another option is maybe raised beds, and those can be made from landscape blocks of some kind, and that will give you an above ground situation. So there's lots of materials. The concrete blocks will work if they're stacked up. You can make basically a pot out of them, and they will shrink and swell a little bit with the soil when it does shrink and swell from the freezing and thawing of the winter. A little bit of maintenance is involved there. Wooden pots will work too, but they only last so long. You might get out of treated wood, you might get maybe 8 years or so out of them.
Okay.
So there are pluses and minuses, and you have to weigh all those factors. And perennials, really, in this neck of the woods, are best planted in the ground.
What is the minimum size, you would say, for planting
at least a 12-inch pot.
At least a 12-inch pot. Yeah. Would you recommend a larger size?
I'd like to go 16 inches or 24 inches.
16 or 24.
It gives you more soil mass in the ground, and with more mass, you water less frequently, but maybe a little more heavily, but... And also, you want to make sure they drain real well. In other words, that if you do put a saucer underneath them, elevate that saucer either with some form of elevation, like a PVC pipe, or some gravel in the saucer to keep the pot suspended over the saucer so it doesn't sit in water and you can cause root rot that way.
Okay, thank you.
And if you do a lot of them, you might consider implementing a drip irrigation system, perhaps. Makes it a little easier to manage.
Oh, do you sell that kind of equipment?
Not really, but we can kind of tell you how to do it. I mean, I've got...
Okay.
I have one at my house. I've had it for 10 years, and it just plugs into the hose with one of the little timer things, so you can set a program. And I don't ever have to worry about watering my... I just use annuals in pots. They bloom all summer. And I don't have to worry about watering them at all. They just always look pretty.
Oh, that sounds good. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. And, of course, if you have any questions for Larry Glass on the Green Country Gardener this morning, you can reach us at 918-336-1400. Or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, what else we got about irrigation systems?
Okay, anyway, back to container gardening. It's primarily limited to maybe herbs, herbs and spices and things. Mm-hmm. Make really good container plants. And annual flowers are the primary thing, because they bloom basically all summer long. Perennials bloom only a certain period of time. And if they're in a pot and it gets really cold, they'll probably die off from the cold or that are just desiccation from being really cold
right.
in the wintertime. So anyway, that's it. Anyway, irrigation systems, we talked about the initial engineering of it, design of it. You have to know your slope, your soil type, and what do you intend to plant over there in order to come up with a nozzle size and a precipitation rate too on your sprinkler systems. So that's all engineered by regulating the diameter of the nozzle on the individual sprinkler head.
Right.
To where you don't apply water too fast, say on a slope. And also your soil type. If it's heavy clay, you want to administer the water on a fairly slow basis so it doesn't run off. Mm-hmm. Okay, and also wind is a factor too. And if you do have a lot of wind in the area, it's just a matter of timing on there. You want to irrigate at, say, 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
rather than 10 o'clock in the morning when the wind starts to come up or something.
Right.
And also they're coming up with some new technologies, several new technologies coming in, one of which is a timer or I guess an untimer. They're called smart timers. And really, you don't set any time at all. You don't set the time. People kind of have a hard time dealing with this, not setting, well, I need to let it run for 10 minutes. No, you don't.
Right.
You enter the soil type. You enter the slope. You enter the plants on there and the type of sprinkler heads over there. And then the percentage of a moisture in the ground is, you know, pretty good guess. And then it does it all for you. And what the smart timers do is they tie into the National Weather Service. And when we've had a certain amount of rain, it computes the soak rate and all that and administers water properly that way. So so instead of having to go in and hit the seasonal adjust on it every time you turn around, it more or less does it for you.
Technology is a beautiful thing.
I've had one at my house for my limited sprinkler system for about... This is second year, and everything just looks fine. It waters at 1 in the morning. I don't know what goes on, and everything's just watered. It just works fine. So,
I don't have to do that today.
Except I don't have it on my grass in the front yard.
Gotcha.
So, because I live on a rock pile, I just pull a hose around for that.
Right.
And actually, the hose connection is connected to this timer too, so it knows when to water. So, So that's one. Another thing new on the horizon is. A device that basically does water printing.
Right.
Instead of having 8 or 6 sprinkler heads in a lawn, you have one in the middle. And it shoots out way up far over there. Then you program it to follow the contours. And it shoots further and closer, and depending on where it is in the lawn. I haven't put one of these in yet. This is still kind of new. They're still looking for investors. But anyway... And a customer asked me about that, and it's basically a two-wire irrigation system. If you're familiar with two-wire irrigation, the timer sends a signal out there, and there's a little box in there that decodes that signal, and it tells that valve to turn on. So you only run two wires. Theoretically, it saves some time, but I've known some of them have some troubles with water getting into the things. And causing deterioration. I told this customer probably the biggest problem you might have with this is our errant electricity.
Right.
And the connections that are put in there. That's the first place things are going to leak, and the wiring connections and so on, and animals and moles and things chewing on the wires and so on. So that might be a little bit of a difficulty.
Right.
With that particular system, if they can get the bugs all worked out, and if you put your wire in a conduit, then you probably have pretty good luck with it. Otherwise, I would consider, well, let's not be the first kid on the block to do a water printer.
Let's see what happens.
But it is. That particular one can save a lot of money because there's no spillage on the road or no spillage on the sidewalk or driveway or anything. Of course, they got the wind, too. But it's. I haven't put one of those in yet, but it's interesting to see that.
Yeah. Definitely. So,
and another thing that's kind of new, and we've been using it out now for a couple of years, is a different class of pipe. We use a high density polyethylene pipe, and it doesn't. And it's rated at 360 pounds per square inch. It'll hold all the water in the world, and it doesn't freeze. Mm-hmm. Some people had some real problems with freezing this last winter because it was so cold for so long. And some of them just simply aren't buried deep enough.
Right. Hint, hint.
Yeah. So this is a bit like PEX pipe. It'll expand and contract with the cold and all that, so you won't have any problems with it. And another thing I like about it is if you put a master valve, say, after your backflow preventer, you can use it as a static line or a loop line, it's also called. And you when you dig your trenches, you round the corners, and instead of having an elbow, the pipe curves around the corner.
Right.
Because it's a continuous pipe going around the house. And not having those elbows, if you understand friction loss and water making a right turn instantly like that, when you're running water through it at 5 feet per second, you're going to lose some of the energy with all these elbows and things. And the last circuit on there will work just as good as the first one, because you don't have this water loss, that water loss, that water loss, et cetera, going in there, stop or slowing down the water. So by the time you get to the most critical circuit in the whole yard, it's been through all of these little turns and elbows and things, and it slows it down a little bit.
Oh, goodness.
So that's what I like about the HDPE pipe is. You can bend and curve it around without a bunch of fittings, and it works real well.
We're talking with Larry Glass on the Green Country Gardener this morning. It is 8:44. We are due for another two-minute break. We'll be right back. We'll also hear from Evan Farbach, who's at the Washington County Fairgrounds for the 24th annual radio auction.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is your plant headquarters with Bartlesville's largest selection of annuals, perennials, shrubs, and trees. While shopping for outside the home, make it a tropical paradise inside with tropical plants. Green Thumb can custom design your landscape, including installation of sprinkler systems, pavers for walkways and patios, making your yard and backyard the oasis you've always dreamed of. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nevada Road, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. Sunday, noon to 5.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
How many times have you asked yourself, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time and temperature from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. We update the Weatherline as our forecast changes, so you're always up to date. Put that number in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
If you're vaccinated, you shouldn't wear a mask. If you aren't vaccinated, you should be wearing a mask.
Helping you sort out the mixed masked messages.
The rapid spread of Delta variant, we have to move towards an indoor mask advisory.
Mixed messaging.
Mixed reactions.
Was he a mask mandate or not?
Full of this crap.
Information.
Getting answers.
So that you can get the facts.
Trusted community voices.
K1, the one you trust.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. I'm Garrett Giles. Larry Glass joining us in studio on this Saturday morning. It's 8:46, 80 degrees, sunny skies, excessive heat warning in effect from noon until 8 p.m. today. So make sure you're taking plenty of breaks and drinking plenty of water today. And we're going to pitch it on out to Evan Farbach, who's at the 24th annual rodeo auction up in Dewey. Evan, how you doing?
Hey, thanks so much, Garrett. Yes, we're here at the K1, KYFM, K-Rig, KPGM Radio Auction, Washington County Fairgrounds in Dewey. Doors are open. The auction will start in about 13 minutes. Starts right at 9 o'clock here at the Washington County Fairgrounds in Dewey. I think most people know where that is. It's just a little bit to the west of Dewey High School, right off Highway 75, and hopefully you can get on up here and join us today. We'll be here till probably a little bit after noon, and again, the auction starts in 10-15 minutes, so come on up and join us today. We've got hundreds of items from businesses all across Northeast Oklahoma and Southeast Kansas, a lot of gift certificates from local restaurants and other gift certificates to businesses locally. I know we have some gas cards from ASAP and general stores. And of course, the cool thing about our auction is everything is capped at 80% of retail. So you are guaranteed 20% off of whatever we paid for the items this morning at the auction. So if there's something that you wanted, or maybe you just want to come on by and peruse some of the items, first off, you can look at the items still on our website, BartlesvilleRodeo.com. But of course, they're out for everyone to look at here at the Washington County Fairgrounds in Dewey. Walk through, look at them, and then you can wait to find an item that's to your liking. You can max bid it, try to get it for that 20% off, or of course, you can slow play it and see if you can get it for even more off than that. I know I got a grill here, or my wife got us a grill here for like probably 40% of what it should have gone for. So it was like 60, 70% off. There'll be some really good deals here today. So coming out and join us for the radio auction. And again, it starts in about 12 minutes.
And Evan, I heard they have some pretty great food there today.
Yes, a crossing on 2nd is here. They are grilling up some kolaches, and they've got some cinnamon rolls and other items, and they'll have some lunch stuff once we get a little bit closer to lunchtime after about 11 o'clock or so this morning. So yeah, there's concessions, the numbers are free, we'll have some door prizes. So in addition to bidding on all the stuff, we've got just a lot of free items up here as well.
All right, awesome. Thank you, Evan, for letting us know what's happening up there in Dewey, and we look forward to seeing that action getting kicked off here at 9 o'clock at the Washington County Fairgrounds for the rodeo, or for the radio auction, excuse me.
Yep, no doubt about it. Thanks, Garrett.
Yep, no problem. We'll talk to you soon. And we're back with Larry Glass. Larry, we've been talking quite a bit about irrigation systems here in the last half of the show.
Right.
What else can you tell us about
another part of the irrigation system is the wiring. You want to use a double jacketed wire. They just make irrigation wire, if you will. And when you do the actual wiring in the valves, you want to have enough wire to where the wires will come up out of the valve box. Mm-hmm. So you can make your connections outside the valve box and then curl it back in there. So that frustrates me to no end. You got these hands in that little bitty valve box trying to fix something in there.
That box is so small, my hands are so big.
Yeah, I know. And most of us irrigation guys, sprinkler guys, got big hands, you know.
Right.
You have to in order to dig all the rocks out of the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
So then the wire's not that expensive. And another thing is, this last week, a customer had has a sprinkler system, and somebody drove, I guess, a shepherd's hook through the wire.
Yikes.
Because he was having a circuit that would work, well, once in a while, then it won't work, then it'll work, then it won't work. So I took my wire tracer and found that you can buzz the wire and find out where the wire is and all that. and it coincided with the location of a shepherd's hook on close to the pool. So there was actually one surplus wire left in the circuit, and I hooked it up to the timer and then connected to the valve, and it worked. So we just bypassed the wire, and
everything was good.
Another thing is always run extra wires. You say, I've got 8 valves, I need 9 wires, I'll get 9 conductor wire. No, get 12 conductor wire.
Why do you need more?
You might want to expand the system at some point.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And another thing is, if something like that happens, there's a good chance you can do the repairs right there at the circuit board or the timer and the valve itself, rather than trying to hunt and find a broken wire or an attenuated wire at some point. So run some extra wires, over-design it a little bit. You know, try to use the best stuff. Get it down deep. Our frost depth here, it got down to 12 inches here when it was really cold. That's rare. 4 inches is kind of what we're rated at, but that 12-inch frost level we had, I know that because we had to update our telephone system at the nursery.
Right. That winter, man.
Was out there with a pick and a sledgehammer trying to bust through that stuff.
You didn't use a sharp shovel? Just kidding.
It was.
Yes.
So be prepared for some anomalous weather things. Now, you can avoid a lot of freeze damage on your pipe by putting in automatic drain valves. Uh-huh. Now, I know you can't put automatic drain valves typically on the meter line. It's against codes. You can't do that.
Right.
But you can put a manual drain valve in, a spring-loaded manual drain valve. And if you encounter a situation where, say, the static line maybe runs under a driveway or something, mm-hmm. do it in PEX.
Just be peckish.
PEX pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will shrink and swell with the cold. And when you're dig your line underneath there, just to run a PEX pipe in it. I've done that on many occasions, and no problems.
It's good. It's,
you can't control the drainage in the pipe under the cement.
Right.
And it can crack and split in the cold. And the cement conducts heat very well, so it will freeze. So, So just some simple rules to follow. And ask your contractor if he does all these things. You know, what your wiring? Do you put in extra wires and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Right. And find out, if the system's just engineered or is it just put in the ground?
Right.
So. Okay, anyway, tree of the week is Leyland cypress. It's an intergeneric of two separate genre type plants. It's a cross between a Monterey cypress and Alaska cedar. Cupressus crossed with a Cameo cypress. It doesn't happen very often, but it does in this case. And originated in England in 1888. The Leyland cypress is used a lot for screening purposes. So you want to hide a view or you want a little privacy or something. It's used in the backyard for screening. And it does a really pretty well in our climate here, too. It grows well in full sun, but tolerates some partial shade. Growth is best when moisture is adequate, which it is.
Right.
But it is also somewhat drought-tolerant and suitable for dry sites. It's a zone 7, so the average winter temperature is 0 to 10 degrees. The Leyland cypress is relatively cold-hardy and well-suited for plantings around this area here also. So really, this last cold spell should have killed off the Leyland cypress, but it didn't.
Gotcha. That's interesting.
So I guess that's a zone 6 plant then.
Yeah.
And some of the other plants, it was weird. It didn't die off at all. Like Kevin Potter's live oaks, they did fine.
Right.
Whereas when it was a full 10, 15 degrees warmer than that on a cold spell that only lasted a short period of time, they died. So
that's a mystery.
So anyway, actually, no, that was a little colder than this, but anyway.
And Larry, we're going to take our final break here on the Green Country Gardener. We'll be right back. We'll start rounding out the show on the Saturday.
Okie doke.
Shortly after Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic flight to Europe, the Dole Pineapple Company sponsored a race from San Francisco to Honolulu in 1927. Lindbergh refused to fly in it, noting he couldn't miss the continent of Europe, but he sure as heck could miss Hawaii. Frank Phillips saw the race as a great opportunity to advertise his new Phillips Aviation Fuel. Frank found his pilot, a Hollywood stunt pilot by the name of Arthur Goebbels, and named his plane the Woolerock in honor of the ranch. Eight planes took off from San Francisco on August 16, 1927, and only two planes finished the race. The flight took over 26 hours, and the winner was the Woolerock. Charles Lindbergh described it as the greatest event in air history. For the next year, that plane barnstormed the country, advertising Phillips fuel, and finally returned to Woolerock. Mr. Phillips instructed his staff to build a stone hangar for the airplane, which they did, and he stored the plane there. As he collected more and more art and artifacts, he stored a lot of it in that hangar until he finally had to enlarge it. Today, you know that airplane hangar is the first room of the museum as you walk out of the dome room. Next time you visit, remember what that room's initial purpose was back in 1928. That same airplane hangs proudly today in the museum at Woolerock, where magic still happens every day. Welcome home to Woolerock.
You've heard it said.
I saw it on the radio.
Well, that's true.
But now the radio can be your computer,
your smartphone,
tablet,
or any internet-connected device.
Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner.
And you won't miss a minute of news, sports, or entertainment.
You can take us with you anywhere in the world.
We're AM 1400, FM 93.3, K1, the one you trust, and your constant online companion.
AM 1400, FM 93.3, K1, the one you trust, and your constant online companion. 857, you're listening to the Green Country Gardener. I'm Garrett Giles, Larry Glass with us. Larry, what's happening at the nursery?
Well, golly, we talked about the Leyland cypress. We have a few of those, but the Green Giant Arborvitae is one that's a little hardier, and we have some of those to look at the nursery. They don't look like an arborvitae. They look more like a Leyland cypress. Even a redwood tree, they look a little bit like that too, kind of reminiscent of that. They don't have that vertical patterning of leaves, which some people don't like on the arborvitae.
Right.
So they're kind of interesting, and they do very well here. We've had a little bit of an issue with borers on them. Another thing people are having problems with on their juniper plants right now are bagworms.
Not the bagworms.
Ugh, they take over real bad.
Yeah.
We have sold our weight in BT and spinosad. It's really those two things that are used now for the bagworms. And we did some applications of BT on some of these plants and just killed them overnight. So,
thanks.
And it has good residual activity because it's a bacterial spore, BT is. So it keeps on working and killing them off. Anyway, we've got kind of at a low ebb in our inventory at the nursery. However, the fiscal year is ending on some of the growers, and they're going to release this stuff all over the place. And we are armed and loaded and ready to have stuff shipped out. We just got a new big old load of bulk mulch, which smells really nice. It's really, I think it's prettier than stuff in the bag anyway, and it's cheaper that way too. Mm-hmm. We can deliver it. But anyway, bulk mulch is one way to go if you have a lot of mulching to do. Okay.
We still got a little time.
We still have the summer phlox is blooming out the nursery. Uh-huh. The crepe myrtles are really showing some really good robust color now. So things are kind of picking up, and they're going to get a little better when fall comes in and things cool down just a little bit. So anyway, come check us out and set up an appointment for me to come out and maybe talk about your landscape or irrigation system or perhaps do a landscape plan somewhere. So you can have a roadmap to follow for your landscape so you don't waste your money.
Right. And where can people find you, Larry?
We're on the No Water Road, halfway between Madison and Washington Boulevard on the south side of the road. And golly, keep your shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
Yes, we will. And make sure you get on out to the auction.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KW.